We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible.
For the fifth straight time, Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the AFC Championship game. This time it's against the Cincinnati Bengals for the second straight time. What's up, everybody? Kent Swanson here in the Blue Wire studio at the Wynn in Las Vegas, having a phenomenal time with all my buddies. This is kind of surreal to be here. We're beyond excited to be doing a show here. We're going to be doing five things to watch. I'm here with Maddie Lane. What's up?
Listen, we're doing five things to watch with five people for the fifth straight AFC Championship game hosted by the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know. I think it's kind of perfect. Chiefs by five.
That's a lot of fives. I want the Chiefs to win by more than five.
55?
Here, yeah, 55 would be great.
Gotcha.
We can win by a Frank Clark call there. It's not just the three of us up here. We've got sitting here, leader of the pack, BJ Kissel, sitting down here and joining us out here in Vegas, Sean Barber out here on the field.
I'm just so happy to be here, man. It's Vegas, bro. Let's do it. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Don't forget that.
I'm excited with this one because we're gonna put a bow on this game we've been talking about all week. There's so many storylines going in. We thought we were out of storylines coming into this game, but a few more popped up on a Friday that gives us a little bit more something to talk about. And yeah, this is maybe more than any other game. It's time for this game to be here. I can't wait. We'll be right back here on Sunday live streaming a second screen watch party from this studio, doing our post-game show from here as well. It is going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. This is going to be a blast.
It's going to be an absolute blast. Yeah, come hang out with us. We'll be reacting as things are going down. It's going to be a pretty tense game. This is the most tense game that we've done a live screen watch party to. This one's going to be a lot. Like, there's probably going to be some pretty raw emotions.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, all right. Okay, Matthew. All right, well, so we're going to be just going through five different things to watch. We're all going to pick one. There's five of us. We'll start with the offensive side of the ball. And BJ Kissel's leading off here today. First thing to watch here, BJ.
We'll jump with the new storyline, the Travis Kelce news. I think it kind of caught everybody off guard because he was a full participant, was listed as questionable for this game with a back. Not a lot of information. He was, I think, slated to talk to the media and then didn't. And so everybody obviously gets really worried based on some cryptic tweets from some people that may know Travis Kelce. I don't think it's anything too serious at this point. Not that we would find out if it was going to be serious. They're not going to give a lot of that information, but definitely something to watch for going into this game. And when you combine that with what we heard from Julian Edelman earlier this week, when he went on national saying, I think alluded to the fact that he may have talked with some people on the Bengals and their plan, especially on third down, they're going to hit him, they're going to pull him, they're going to tug on him, all that stuff. And if Travis Kelce is a little banged up going into this one, we know Patrick Mahomes a little banged up. It's definitely something to watch for and add a little bit, one more storyline going into this game, Ken.
And I think the good news for Chiefs fans when you're looking at this, he was a full participant in practice. Like, that's a very important piece of this. And I kind of like, there might be a little bit of gamesmanship to what you're saying, BJ, because you look at this and say, okay, he's questionable now. We've heard all this buzz about, okay, they're going to try to take him out. They're going to emphasize him. Of course, they're going to try to emphasize him. I mean, how many catches did he have last week? 14?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 17 targets? Like, yeah, they're going to try to take away the safety blanket a little bit, right? So, you know, it'd be fascinating to watch if it's really that impactful of an injury. But maybe there's a hint of gamesmanship there a little bit with it too.
Listen, Travis Kelce's getting his ass kicked every single week, no matter what. That's what every defense is going to do that to him. Third down, first down, it doesn't matter. They're sending multiple guys at him. You can go back to when the Patriots and the Chiefs were playing each other every single playoffs, and they were just whooping him up every single time. This is nothing new that Julian Edelman's talking about. I'm sure we're in the AFC Championship game. I'm sure that he doesn't feel great. I'm sure there's things that don't feel great in his body. I'm sure he needs some extra work. So, like, I'm not overly concerned right now with, you know, maybe missing a presser. Was a full participant in practice, like Kent said. I don't think it's something to get concerned about as a Chiefs fan. If it shows up on game day and, like, then there's a problem, like, if there's very clearly a problem come game day, then yeah, then a lot of things change. But, I mean, everybody's beat up right now. He's not the only guy. So missing a presser to get a little bit of massage work or something on your back, I don't think is something to worry about.
It's the full practice for me. If he was limited in practice, this would feel a lot different right now. So, I mean, like, being able to be a full go, you miss a presser. I mean, there were people that were alluding to the fact that, you know, Travis has talked enough. We don't need to talk about this game anymore. Just show up.
He's got a podcast.
He's got, he's talked plenty. But I mean, like, it makes sense to just kind of be like, you know what? It's fine. I'm going to go get some treatment. I'm going to make sure I'm good for Sunday. He's playing. Patrick Mahomes is a full go. Travis Kelce's a full go, like, times 1,000.
If it wasn't for the cryptic tweets from people that are around him that will be unnamed for this show, I don't want to out anybody, but made me feel more comfortable. But it is exactly your point, because the worst case scenario for a Chiefs fan when you see something like that is if a player blows out a knee during practice, they would be listed as limited, and then probably wouldn't be questionable at that point, but could be listed as questionable at that point. They would list them as limited if they didn't finish practice and something happened. But the fact that he was full, didn't miss any reps. Sean, you've been there. You know how this all this stuff works.
Man, playoffs is a whole different beast. Again, if this was during the season, you got to manage the, you know, where we are in the season and where we are as far as the playoffs. This is, you got to create your next game. Everything is on the table right now. So whatever I got to do to get ready for practice, whatever I got to do to get ready for the game, everybody is up. Everybody is up. It's time to press all the chips in. It's nothing left to hold. All the fancy plays, the exotic defensive fronts, the disguising of the coverages, all the fake field goals and fake everything's up this game. And so we're talking about practice. I feel like Allen Iverson, right? We're talking about practice.
Practice?
Not the game, but we're talking about practice. Man, Travis Kelce is going to be ready for that game, and they're going to get everything they want. We call him Killer Trav. We call him Zeus. They're going to get all of that on Sunday.
You heard Juju Smith-Schuster talking a little bit about how the game plan's fire. Like, that's one of the comments, like, that they were using, one of the terminology for the game plan. There's a lot of confidence in what they're putting out there. And, it would have been a very we all think Travis Kelce's playing. He's playing. Come on. He's playing. Yeah. It would be a very devastating thing to happen the last practice where you've got this fire game plan that's very obviously going to involve Travis Kelce, either actively involved getting a ton of targets or just being used to kind of help build other things on top of it. Mm-hmm. This would be a devastating loss if it were, if that were the case, because, like, he's such a crucial piece of this offense. And, I mean, yeah, you saw what Mahomes, he was what Mahomes was leaning on late in that game and trying to, just utilize him underneath routes and stuff like that. So it's going to be pretty important that he plays in this game. I'm fully confident that he will. And I'm looking forward to the fire game plan. And that brings us to the second thing to watch. It's, who's going to be pulling the trigger on that fire game plan, according to Juju Smith-Schuster? It's going to be Patrick Lovon Mahomes. There's so much discussion about the ankle injury, the high ankle injury. And, we've just gotten a bigger and bigger sample size of him walking around pre-practice. So we're
spinning.
The spin.
Spinning, it was a spin skipping, for me.
Shout out James Palmer.
Doing stairs. It does seem, though, and, like, I think this is the thing I'm kind of curious about, the thing I'm most interested in to watch is we've seen Patrick Mahomes be able to stretch teams and force them to defend bigger patches of grass than most teams in the NFL. There's not very many quarterbacks that can really stress a team the same way Patrick Mahomes is able to, just with his arm. We're just talking about with his arm. I'm very fascinated to see how much field they're able to really, kind of force the Bengals to defend. How much are they able to stretch the Cincinnati Bengals? Because, yes, we know about Mahomes' injury, and there's a lot of concern and questions about, okay, so how is he going to be able to drive off that foot Well, okay. Well, if he can, if, you know, like all early indications right now, it looks like he's going to be able to drive off that foot a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this guy's got unique arm talent where he can kind of overcompensate without harming himself in some ways. How much field are we going to see them stretch? I think that's one of the big storylines for this game is can they open things up a little bit? And are the Bengals even going to give them some of those opportunities too?
The Bengals did in the first matchup. A lot of the offense the Chiefs were able to get was Marquez Valdes-Scantling working vertically downfield. He had two receptions over 20 yards. He forced a defensive pass interference on another one. So like a lot of their chunk plays in that first game came on hitting MVS vertically. And regardless of what we think the mobility of Patrick Mahomes may be in this game, that stuff's going to be there. I mean, he's thrown plenty of passes without putting his legs to it. We've seen him throw a jump pass jumping over Andrew Wiley's leg that still went 15, 17 yards on a rope. So I'm not concerned about the arm or the ability to stress the Bengals defense vertically. The Bengals, like every other time they play, the Chiefs are going to respect everything downfield. They're going to throw a bunch of bodies at Travis Kelce. They've apparently already told Julian Edelman their entire game plan, I guess. So there's going to be a lot of other guys that should have opportunities to be open. Juju Smith-Schuster's talking about a fire game plan. MVS had a really good game. I mean, guess who else didn't play last time these two teams met? Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney. Now, we don't know for sure if Mecole Hardman's going to play, but it looks like he's back to practice. Kadarius Toney's played a big part in the Chiefs, stretch run here. So they're adding all these other playmakers. You want to spend all this time covering vertically downfield, covering sideline to sideline, no matter which hash mark they're on, or if there's a small rollout, and now you have to worry about speed, and now you have to worry about Juju Smith-Schuster and everything else. There's going to be gaps in what the Bengals allow. It's obviously going to be there, and I think we should all have the utmost confidence that Patrick Mahomes can get the ball to him.
You know it's going to end up being like Noah Gray or Justin Watson's. It's going to come out and have like 110 yards, and it's going to be like, remember that time that Justin Watson just went out and absolutely went off against the Bengals?
Yeah. And I mean, Andy Reid's been building this offense for this moment. Like, he really has. The pieces that he has are so complementary. You know, you've got guys that can win in the intermediate areas. They've got some deep threats. They've got guys that can stretch you horizontally. That is hard as hell to defend as a, come up with a game plan as a defensive coordinator. You want to tell me that Andy Reid's been sitting here all year long just installing little elements of it, just little bit here and there. I have the utmost confidence that what we are going to see is going to attack literally every blade of grass out there. It's just the question was, can Mahomes hit all of those? Full practice all week long. Absolutely looks good doing it too. I think we're going to see the best game plan. I think we're going to see top-notch Patrick Mahomes. I don't see how this isn't just, an absolute barn burner on offense.
Patrick Mahomes is on all systems go. I don't think the ankle injury, I think the way he recovered from it and got straight into rehab, what we've seen on the, what is it called? The ankle watch. Kansas City Chiefs has been on the ankle watch. I've seen enough to know he's going to be full speed and ready to go. I think he's going to be surgical. I think the way he picks apart and just delivers the ball against the zone, all their zone concepts is going to force them out of the zone, force them to go. What they don't want to do is go man, because Eli Apple, I mean, I'll say it, he can't guard people.
Let's go.
Man to man. He's a zone. He's a zone defender. Talk. He talks a lot of trash, but he just doesn't have the ability to stay with the amount of vertical threat that our guys can go with. And then underneath the safeties and the linebackers, they got guys that can make plays. The Sam Hubbard guy is a guy who's been a constant. I mean, he's kind of like, one of the guys we've had, is going to the Hall of Fame or some, number 69 for the Chiefs.
Jared Allen.
He's got a lot of that in him, man. He's got a lot of that energy, that vibe, that motor. He just keeps coming on all different levels, and you don't really know where to account for him at. And so sometimes that does throw off our blocking schemes and blocking patterns. But man, we got some special guys now. If you saw what Jet McKinnon, we saw the way he handles blitzes, right? He readjusts their face mask. We got guys that just do things a little bit differently. And I think that now we're going to let all these beasts out the cage. We're going to let everybody go eat. And Coach Reed says it, go out here on this field and let your personality show. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see, come Sunday when the dogs are released and Arrowhead Stadium goes wild, that offensive juggernaut that is run by Patrick Mahomes gets released. I don't think that Cincinnati is going to be able to keep up, man. I just think it's going to be a horse race.
I'm just throwing an idea out here, trying to figure out, like, what could we see as far as the Bengals early in this game wanting to test what they're going to see from Patrick Mahomes from a mobility standpoint. That's some information that you would want early in this game. And I'm asking you guys, because I'm just throwing this out there, would a gap up the middle pressure and making him pick a side as opposed to coming off the side, if you're going to see pressure, could you see it coming up the middle early just to see, can he escape? Because when I was watching the replay, they've been showing on NFL Network, the replay of the AFC Championship game from last year, the touchdown to Travis Kelce is the play where it's like, ooh, I don't know if, even if he's not quite 100%, we know it's Patrick Mahomes. We know he's going to try. He's not going to hold back or play any differently. Hopefully he protects himself so he doesn't have a hit like we saw with Arden Key against the Jags. That's stuff he'd like to see him avoid. But could you see something like the Bengals and their, you know, defensive coordinator Lou Anamaroma trying to get that information by, let's blitz him up early, see how he moves laterally, see how he moves outside the pocket, at least to have that info early?
I think they'll try to blitz him in some capacity. Like, and some of that
is crazy.
You bring some middle pressure, like you're going to, I think there's easier outlets to try to beat that pressure with getting the ball out of your hands quickly. Like, it's not right. necessarily as much flushing him off a spot where, like, you get some overloads, you get some, like we talked about this on the lab, like some cat blitzes, some bringing some nickel pressure to try to force the pocket, you know, try to force some front side pressure or something to force him to kind of move to his left too. Like, I think that's one of the things. It's like trying to, you know, move him away could be a very fascinating thing. So, like, I almost wonder if it's some, like, almost some edge pressure that they're trying to bring just to try to force him to move off his spot a little bit. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Barber?
I just don't see no – I've watched over and over again. There is no one way to get to him. There's no solution. The fact that he has total control over protection, and that's the one thing that's always scared me about Patrick Mahomes, is most offenses, the coordinator calls a play, and it has the protection set into it. And then the quarterback looks over the defense – he sticks with the protection. Defensively, we wait for him to check it, and then we come the opposite way. Patrick, kind of like Peyton Manning, has full control over which way to slide the line, which way to send the running back, go A7, A6. All the different protections are live. And so the offense, because it's Arrowhead Stadium, we're playing at home, perfect. We can check protections. We can let him hand-pick and customize what protection he believes is going to keep him the safest. And then obviously, if they do bring pressure to out routes, we got it's just offense is just so it's so evolved where it's just no single way to get to him that he doesn't have a solution.
There's solutions, yeah.
And Sean, you and I used to talk about this years ago when I was working with the Chiefs, is that when Patrick Mahomes was a rookie, when he was going through this process, the way they developed him is they started with protections. Before they ever worried about everything else, everything started with protections. Yeah. I remember talking to him after a rep during an OTA practice where he was like, you know, fist bumping and like was pumping his fist. He was so excited after a play, but he like threw it was like an out route and he threw it out. It was, I think he even tipped off the receiver's hands. Like the guy didn't catch it. And I remember thinking, and after the practice, I asked him, I was like, why were you celebrating after that play? And he goes, I got the protection right. They threw something at me they had never seen before. And all I cared about was getting the protection right. Nags, Kafka, like all of them were just thrilled because they were developing him a certain way. And that's why everybody who was a part of how they brought him along and Alex Smith and all of that. I know we're years past, we've been talking about it for years, but when we get into situations like this, where he's a little banged up, talk about the pressure, the defensive coordinator, the chess matches, this was something that was instilled into him from the protection side of it from the very beginning of when he joined the Chiefs.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're watching this. You have any more to add to that, Matt? You look ready to jump in.
No, I did. I was just going to say, you can go back to the second half of the Jaguars game when Mahomes came back in. The Jaguars were sending a lot of pressure. And I mean, to Sean's point, Mahomes was calling all of them out right there at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he was just getting them over and over with them. He could barely move. I mean, we watched him. We all watched him. He's hopping on one foot. He's not going to beat any of those pressures with his mobility in that game. But just over and over again, he's picking them up. McKinnon's coming across and catching somebody coming off the opposite side. The offensive line sliding into it. Or when you can't account for him, we have the play where I think it was Isaiah Pacheco just slips out right behind the blitz in the flat. Mahomes invites the pressure to keep coming to him before dumping the ball off. And he just knew right where he was going with it. It ends up being an 8-9 yard gain. He has that complete command. And I agree. I think the Bengals will send pressure early. Mike Hilton, their nickelback, is probably their best blitzer. So I could very much see them bringing him off the edge to make Mahomes move. But at your own risk, do that. And I beg the Bengals, if I get to say, please try to make Patrick Mahomes beat you in this game. Like, please, as a Chiefs fan, try to make him beat you. I will go down with that ship every single time.
That's why I said it was crazy earlier when you're talking about the blitzing him. I'm like, it's crazy we're sitting here talking about blitzing Patrick Mahomes because for 5 years we've looked at the numbers. I'm like, you just don't blitz this guy. He has too much command. He knows where to go with the ball. And he talks about it all year. He was never given enough credit in the whole Tyreek Hill thing. He was never given enough credit for how mentally in tune with everything he was, because people on the outside who weren't around him or didn't study what he was doing just thought he was making these crazy plays and got lucky and all this stuff. It's like, you're going to see another side of him when he stays in the pocket. He can tear you apart because he has full command of everything that's going on.
I'm curious just to see if there's intentionality to try to wear him down. You know, and like, I think maybe you're not always right with the pressure and he's able to beat it from time to time. But if you can kind of accumulate some of those hits and see how he responds to some of those hits, they might be willing to live with, you know, giving up some big explosive plays early on in the game, you know, or willing to potentially sacrifice him just so they can get some shots on him and try to see how long he can sustain that success as he gets hit more and more and more. And if he starts to wear down, if they have to move him off his spot, I think there's just going to be some intentionality to try to move him off his spot as much as they possibly can. And like, I mean, that's not always blitzing. It's just, but you know, I think there's some intentionality there. Storyline or thing to watch number three, Matthew, you kind of are the pivot man. It's either going offense or defense. What are you springing on us? Let's go.
Everything. Okay. Can I do that? No. So we've talked a lot about the offense. We talked about receivers, Travis Kelce. We've talked about Patrick Mahomes. We kind of left out one group so far, the offensive line. There's one quick way to have a quarterback that's a little hurt, that maybe's a little bit limited in his mobility, to stuff that offense. And that's if the offensive line can't hold up. And there's been times against the Bengals in the past or earlier this season where the Chiefs offensive line hasn't exactly been all the way up to the task of that particular game. Where we could all see examples of Joseph Osai beating somebody and getting quick pressure against the Chiefs. Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, BJ Hill's been a phenomenal interior pass rusher for them so far this year. So there's a lot of stuff going on that Chiefs will have to contend with on the offensive line. That said, the Bengals pass rush isn't like a high pressure rate unit. It's more just about their sack conversion when they do get pressure. The pressure is coming. When pressure comes, they're getting sacks off of it. They're doing so as a group rather than winning one-on-one stuff. And I think that plays into the Chiefs' hands. We just always haven't seen them play their best. So then this game with Mahomes probably unable to be 100% in terms of his mobility. Andy Reid's going to have the right scheme. I think everything's going to be clicking. It's just got to be the offensive line has to hold up their end of the bargain. And after last week, I mean, it's not Orlando Brown Jr.'s fault or the offensive line's fault that Patrick Mahomes got hurt, but he was definitely under a lot of pressure early in that game leading up to that point. And you know, you just have to think that has been in the back of their mind a little bit, that like we have to do the absolute best that we can do and maybe even then a little bit more just because of that. And I think you kind of going to have that mentality going into this one.
And when you watch the AFC Championship game from last year and the way that the offensive line started, it was really, really good. There are highlight level blocks. Orlando Brown Jr. absolutely takes down Trey Hendrickson, just belly flops on top of him, gets up and puts him back down again. Like, there are multiple blocks like that have happened. They've got to come out and set the tone, whether that be in the pass game, you know, like Orlando Brown, like you're talking about, Maddie, or when they have to turn to Isaiah Pacheco, when they have to turn to Jet McKinnon. They're trying to establish the run game a little bit more. You got to lean on those guys and trust your offensive line to execute at a high level. We have seen some really good run designs from this team. We have seen some good execution of the blocking scheme from this offensive line. It just needs to be there for the full game. You've got to rely on that. You've got to trust that those guys are going to do the job for you. And you got to start like you did against the Bengals game, because my goodness, the beginning of that AFC Championship game was they were absolutely taking it to that big Bengals defense.
Yeah, you talk about offense scripts the first 15 and get ready to go. I don't think that Cincinnati had any answers for our first 15.
Nope.
You talk about that last game.
It was fun.
AFC Championship game. The thing I do think is that when you go up, you know, 20-some points, you go into halftime, there is that dilemma. You got something that's working so well, do you change it? Mm-hmm. And I think offensively, we let our guards down and we didn't change it. And then in the second half, they made adjustments and we just wasn't ready for it. Because we went in halftime thinking everything's great. Everything's good. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. They made an adjustment, threw a little curveball.
Threw some
knuckleballs at us, and yeah, we was ready for the, we was still swinging at fastballs the entire second half, and we never got back on target. So I am very encouraged about the last time we played them, going, you know, into the fourth quarter of that game and having that drive. We're up four, about to go score again. Yes, a ball gets punched out. But I think, again, that playoff mentality, everybody understands now. This is every possession, every catch is do or die. You got to hold on to that ball like it's, I mean, like it's your life now. And I just think the intentionality of our team is going to be so laser focused on every drive, every possession, every play, getting the most out of it, getting down and then going on to the next. It's just hard for me to see our guys not really coming and being ready for the moment.
And tying back just to the offensive line too, it's all of this. It's the elevation of everybody around Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And you saw some intentionality, I think, from the offensive line in the second half of that game. There was a little bit, a different level of focus against the Jaguars that you saw. It's the, you know, I love that you brought up, you know, ball security and all that. There's got to be some intentionality to not let everything around Mahomes fail. Like, and not to put too much undue pressure on him, but I even look back to last year's game with the drop eight, and we talked about there's some key drops. There was just big, you know, mental errors and mistakes that this team was making. They were dropping the football and killing drives that way. And
not
so
running to the pylon at the end of the half.
Don't get me started, Craig. Come on, don't get me started. You know how I feel about this.
I don't want to call it mental weakness, but there was some moments in that game that team failed just mentally to do what needed to be done. And I think you saw a little bit of chaos at the end of the half there. And yeah, I think there's got to be an elevation of everybody around him, but it's got to be, you know, I think just the simple execution and the basic fundamentals are going to be so crucial in this game, especially since I do think the Bengals are going to give you opportunities to be sound and secure all the way down the field. They're just hoping that you make enough mistakes, you know, in between the 20s.
I almost feel like maybe this is just wishful thinking, but I almost feel like any doubt that we have in our minds, that we've seen the Chiefs in playoff games under Andy Reid, like, relax in the second half, and they've given up these big comebacks, that with everything that happened from Mahomes being banged up to the Burrowhead crap to all of these things going on has locked them in so much mentally. Not that they're going to play any harder, but mentally things start to go wrong. Like, there's just a different level of focus that I'm not worried about something like that. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be close. I'm not saying that. But if they get up, I'm not worried about the mental collapse that we had seen or the types of things that we saw last year, because there's so many different examples over this past week of reasons why that the Chiefs are just completely locked in. When Chris Jones said on his presser today, he was like, "We'll see you all at Burrowhead." I was like, "Oh, it's on." This is a different level.
There's always pressure, but there's the second half of last year's game was lethargic. That the Chiefs were lethargic. Mahomes was lethargic for the first time in a long time. Just not the same guy. Not relatively comfortable. I think there's a freedom with the vibe of this football team right now, just the way that they're not afraid of the pressure, and they know there's pressure, but it just feels like there's a little bit more freedom to how they, you know, there's a little bit lethargic. I don't think there's a chance that this group's going to get lethargic
in this game at all. I think they kind of feel like some of the pressure is off and all the expectations have started to kind of fall on the Cincinnati Bengals, which I absolutely love.
I don't know if there's any level of lethargicness that you should be concerned about, but I think this kind of goes back to the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where the Chiefs, I mean, there was some other stuff going on there with all the injuries, but leading up to it, there was a lot of talk about how the Bucs are going to be favorite and they're going to run through them and stuff like that. And I think the Chiefs came out, there's injuries, but they also came out and they were tight. I mean, they were worried about making mistakes. They were trying too hard not to make mistakes early in that game. I think you have to battle that a little bit here. You can't come out being so afraid to make mistakes that you're not playing your brand of football. I mean, the Chiefs play a very specific brand of football. You still have to be yourself. And sometimes with the Chiefs, that does come with the occasional missed throw, missed read, interception, or stuff like that. You can't be afraid to be yourself in this spot. I don't think they will be. Like, I don't anticipate the Chiefs coming out like that. But I think that's a bigger concern than them coming out lethargic or not at 100%. And that's just something you're going to have to battle through early on, which is back to Sean's point about the scripted plays. That's what Andy does. I mean, that's Andy's thing. Like, he's good at getting you out, getting you comfortable, and feeling really, really good out there as an offense specifically. So I think we should be in good hands.
Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button if you are watching. Thanks, everybody, hanging out. We will be here as a reminder. We will be here at the incredible Blue Wire Studio here at the Wynn for a second screen watch party, live reacting to everything that's happening in the AFC Championship game, Chiefs versus Bengals. We are doing five things to watch right now. It is time for number four, and that is the beautiful, handsome, extremely tall Craig Stout.
Craig is great.
More offense.
Craig is great.
No. Barber and I are getting antsy over here. It's time to talk defense. Yeah. We're sitting back here. Yeah. No.
Defense?
You brought up a little bit the Tampa Bay game and the way that went. Obviously, the injuries to the offensive line. Why the hell aren't we talking more about the fact that the Bengals are going to be down so many offensive linemen?
Mm.
You've got Jonah Williams out this week. You've got Alex Kappa out this week. Lyle Collins is on IR. They're starting two of their projected five starters on offense. And
one of them's hobbled, too, by the way.
One of them is hobbled. Ted Karras.
Ted Karras. Yeah.
Ted Karras is hobbled. And the other one, guess what? He's a rookie.
And Chris Jones said Burrowhead.
And Chris Jones said Burrowhead. That's exactly what I'm getting.
That's probably the scariest factor. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot. There is so much here that we're not talking about. And it feels a little bit like that Super Bowl game for the Chiefs. Like, I know I can speak for myself. I even said it on podcasts leading up to that. It's like, listen, this team has figured out how to deal with the offensive line, how to deal with injuries. The offense is still humming and they're still going to hum. And the national media said a lot of the same things. It's like, listen, no, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, this offense, it's going to work still.
Well, I just to add more to like the correlation.
Yeah.
There is some kind of fool's gold from the Chiefs.
Yes.
Playing against the Buffalo Bills.
Who the Bengals just played.
In their offensive line. Correct. And they showed that they were able to navigate the injury of Eric Fisher mid-game.
Yep.
And then it turned out to be fool's gold that the Bills game wound up kind of being a fraudulent representation of what was to come.
Interesting choice of words.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers came out and they absolutely put Patrick Mahomes on his ass. And they dominated that offensive line that was starting a whole bunch of backups and moving guys around and all of that. That's exactly what the Bengals are in. And guess what? Kansas City Chiefs defensive line is really good. They are really good this year. Chris Jones has been just an absolute, I mean, first team all pro. It was unquestionable. Like, he's been the best interior defensive lineman in the league this year. Unquestionably. You've also got George Karloftis coming on, playing really well. Frank Clark is playoff Frank Clark. BJ, I'll let you get to him, buddy. I'm not taking any more of Frank from you. But Mike Dana is playing really well. That Mike Dana, Frank Clark, text on is going to get home multiple times this week. There's so much pressure that the Chiefs can bring with their defensive line, and we're just kind of ignoring it collectively about the fact that the Bengals are so banged up on their offensive line. I mean, Sean, maybe you can speak to this. You're looking at a game plan there. You're looking at a bunch of backups on an offensive line, a defensive game plan. You guys look in your chops, you know, looking at that?
I'm thinking about it like there's never a time where I'm thinking that we need to bring five, bring six. We don't – Our four against their five, it should get immediate pressure every snap. The trench warfare of this game is so much in favor, I think, of the Chiefs. I don't even I don't know if I've even considered there being an option of us not getting home multiple times against him, just because of the shape of their offensive line and what they're in, and the productivity of our defensive line. And I know personally this Joe Cullen kid. You know, this coach Joe Cullen has come from Jacksonville, come from Detroit. He comes from University of Richmond. He was my position coach at University of Richmond, and I know that he knows how to motivate men to give everything you got to get home. He knows what a hot LZ is. It's a hot landing zone. It's a military term. That's the mentality these guys have, and they've had since Joe Cullen's come here. And so that's what I think the turning point with Sac Nation, the CEO, it's under different management now. Joe Cullen has trained those guys how to be what I would say trained killers. They're assassins. And they're going to be some silent assassins coming after Joe Burrow and Burrowhead come Sunday.
I want to ask you about Joe Cullen because we've seen the best year of their career. We could arguably say this was the best year of Chris Jones' career. We've seen the best year from Colin Saunders, Mike Dana, all of these guys. We spent so much time in the offseason talking about the Chiefs' pass rush and who are they going to bring in free agency to fix this problem, because they were dead last in the AFC with 31 sacks. They had 55 sacks, set a franchise record this year. And it wasn't necessarily George Karlaftis, great year, had 6 sacks. Skinny Frank came in and had a great year. But we've seen it. We forget, and all of us, and I'm guilty of it too. We forget that the best way to get better at something is to develop the own guys that you have. And Joe Cullen coming here, getting the absolute best out of these guys. What is it about the way that he went to Colin Saunders and Mike Dana? What is it about the way that he coaches from either a technique standpoint, a motivation standpoint, that allowed him within one season with a couple of new guys, Carlos Dunlap, they brought in guys that have helped, but it's really been the guys who have been here improving and developing and getting better.
The guys that will play are the guys that are willing to give it up every day of practice and create practice habits. The habits are you focus on the football, you get off the ball, and then you have a relentless pursuit of the quarterback or ball carrier through the whistle. And that's the most simplistic way to play D-line. You focus first on the football, then you have amazing get off, and then you fight, scratch, claw until you get to the ball carrier, whether it's the quarterback, the running back, doesn't matter who it is, and you do all of those things by being gap sound and with discipline, rush lanes. And if you can do that over and over and over again, he's never worried about the production. You don't look at the sack stats and the totals and stuff. If you handle the process is always greater than the product. And that's how you become awesome at quarterback hits and pressures and things to adjust that quarterback position. You can't go into a game worrying about your sack numbers. You got to worry about focusing on the ball, get off, and relentless pursuit.
Joe Cullen might not worry about sack numbers, but that's why he has us, because I'm going to bring up Frank Clark sack numbers for anybody that's listening to one of our shows for the first time, just in case anybody hasn't heard this before. Frank Clark currently 4th all time in NFL history in postseason sacks, trailing only another former Chiefs great in Terrell Suggs by a half sack. It was 12 and a half career sacks. One sack, Frank Clark will move into 3rd place all time for the most sacks in postseason history. He's 2.5 sacks behind Bruce Smith and 4 sacks behind Willie McGinnis. 2 good games from Frank in this game against the Bengals on Sunday and then the Super Bowl. And we could literally be talking about Frank Clark having more sacks than any other player in NFL postseason history.
I will take that. I will take nuts. 3. I will take 3 in Burrowhead this week, please.
I will wear a shark costume somewhere.
Oh,
on the next podcast.
Yeah, we heard it.
Yeah, it's on
tape. If Frank Clark had, we win the Super Bowl, Frank Clark gets at least 4, if not 4.5. He could tie it. I'll do it if it's a tie. Okay. Gets 4 sacks in the next 2 games. I will wear a shark costume on one of the next podcasts after that.
I'd rather just postpone it so we come back to Vegas next year and you have to wear a shark costume somewhere around in Vegas.
Ooh. All right. He'd fit in better.
Something we didn't talk about with the defensive line. I mean, everything we said is great. Something the Chiefs defensive line does great, batting passes down at the line of scrimmage. Like, this is something that they are exceptional at. Carlos Dunlap, George Karlaftis, I think, are both in the top 3.
First and second, I believe. Like, yeah. I think Carlos Dunlap was tied for the league lead amongst defensive linemen in pass deflection, and George Karlaftis was literally one behind him.
Chris Jones has been, you know, made a career out of being great at knocking down passes. Joe Burrow's the 2nd fastest time to throw in the NFL this year. Like, the ball's coming out quick. That means it's not traveling very far. When the ball comes out quick, isn't traveling far. Batting passes down is a very viable strategy. I think that's
clearly something, it's, you're obviously not going to come out and plan your entire game plan around this, but it's something that could clearly impact this game. So when the pass rush isn't getting home, when they aren't necessarily winning instantly against this backup offensive line, hands are going to go up. And I think this is a game as a quarterback that is very susceptible to having passes batted down just by the style he plays. And it's not as if Joe Burrow's a 6'6" Trevor Lawrence that, you know, can easily throw the ball up and over everybody. He's, you know, a relatively normal sized quarterback. So that's something that just keep your eyes out, because that's something the Chiefs defensive line has done great.
I wonder if they're going to play through defense or through the offensive linemen too, that can kind of set it up a little bit better for them to be able to deflect some of those passes. If it's not necessarily, we're trying to get off the edge. If they're playing through a tackle, if they're trying to play through Hakeem Adeniji, trying to play right tackle with an inability to anchor. I mean,
tell us how you feel.
You know how I feel. I do a Jayhawk podcast and I'm saying, but I mean, you watch these guys trying to play through a tackle, through a guard. That might be a more viable strategy to try to help defend some of these passes.
Is that Chris Jones off the edge? I mean, if this is what you're talking about.
We've talked about this a little bit too. Yeah. It's like, where do you move Chris around a little bit? Like, throw him around a little bit. Just kind of create some stuff, especially if they're going to try to set the protection to Chris Jones.
It's a lot harder to double team if you got Chris Jones off the edge. And if you're going to send a running back to go over and help Chris Jones off the edge, he's going to be releasing late. That ball's going to not come out as quickly because of that. And then you're going to have guys like Colin Saunders that have gotten wide open looks. Colin Saunders gets more free runners at the quarterback than anybody else. I love it because he's so quick to get back there too. It makes it impossible to do anything when you don't have that guy fully taken care of. You got to test it, though. You got to test all those protections. You got a bunch of new guys, a bunch of guys that haven't played a whole bunch of snaps together, a bunch of guys that are not necessarily playing the positions that they have before. That's exactly what the Tampa Bay Bucs did. This just really, to me, feels like that game all over again. I think this Chiefs defensive line is going to make just a massive impact.
With the roles reversed, though, when you say that, it's the Bengals are the Chiefs and the Chiefs are the Bucs. And I'm going to be clear, because you hit this off to me off pod before, and I don't think I heard that part of the conversation. I'm like, I don't see this at all.
No.
But now, as you explain it, I fully get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Jackson Carman is Mike Remmers.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, your home for the best coverage on your favorite local teams. Whether you're a Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, KC Current, K-State, KU, or Mizzou fan, we've got you covered. Find KCSN on your favorite podcast platform.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Fifth thing to watch. We're about to chop it up in the barbershop. What you got for us?
Well, at the end of the day, man, it comes down to what have we not talked about? And that's coaching. That's the fifth element. It always going to come down to that instinct of when to go for it on fourth down, when to take a field goal when you're in the red zone, how to keep the guys motivated, and how to keep the offense going. And I believe that Coach Andy Reid obviously has not only the experience, the savvy, the play calling, but he's assembled a quality staff throughout the ranks. I mean, we have coaches in the waitings as far as Coach Eric Bieniemy, Coach Dave Tobes, Steve Spagnuolo. Obviously, multiple coaches that have not only head coaching experience, but understands what it takes to go win at this level. And I believe when it comes down to it, that is going to be the difference maker, is that our coach is going to have our guys ready to go all four quarters, a fifth quarter overtime if necessary. But I believe that's going to be the key that really unlocks this Chiefs team on Sunday against the Bengals. Is I think we check that box, A+, and I think the Bengals are going to come in not so close.
I think about like what you're saying, Barber, too, is like, and we look at the last time that these two teams played in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs were beating the brakes off of them.
They were
absolutely beating the brakes off them. The early game script, the coaching was outstanding, both sides of the football.
Both sides.
The Bengals didn't score their first touchdown until late in the second quarter. It was, 21-10 going into the half, but it was 21-3. The Chiefs got out to a big lead. They had them prepared. They unloaded the clip. That was the moment they were ready to unload the clip. I mean, we talk about a lot on, you know, on the show. It's like, okay, well, the Chiefs played the Bengals already once this year. They have, you know, some stuff to break tendency from what they did last time. They have stuff that they haven't shown the Bengals yet. And it's both sides of the football here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not like the Chiefs were out coaching the Bengals in the second half. Or in the first half, I'm sorry. It's just the second half. Lou Anarumo, outstanding adjustment with the drop eight. But that almost didn't work.
Yeah.
That's the thing we talk about. It took short fields and turnovers and mental mistakes by the Chiefs. And it's like, you know, that last game, it wasn't too far removed from, you know, being, you know, being a Chiefs victory. I mean, it was an overtime game. All that stuff we talk about, everybody giving Lou Anarumo his flowers, deservedly so, like, don't get me wrong, that almost didn't matter. And so, like, this, I think you're going to see a great game plan. I think you're going to see a team that is well prepared, to your point. You're dead on. Like, we don't give enough credit to this coaching staff. It's the fifth straight time they're doing it at home.
Five.
How many?
Five.
Okay. So the Chiefs stats versus the Bengals defense. Big Lou gets a lot of credit and he does a great job. It's fantastic situational defensive coordinator. Everything goes great. The Chiefs numbers in terms of like yards per play, points per game are still almost identical to their regular season totals. Like it's almost the exact same offense. Like we're crediting the Bengals defense for making the Chiefs offense look the same as it always does. It seems like it's just the
average of what they do. Yeah, it
feels like just because there's certain situational plays that go their way, which credit to the Bengals for pulling those off. But like certain plays, I think cloud everyone's judgment over what happened. You go back and look at all three of these games that we're talking about, the Bengals, Chiefs were whooping up on them in the first game in the regular season before the comeback began. They were absolutely blowing the doors off of them until somebody decided to not have a foot race to the pylon in the AFC Championship game last year. And even in this game, they were winning until a fumble on a, you know, broken tackle essentially by Travis Kelce, where he was pulling a linebacker 7-8 extra yards. Guy pulled it out. Credit to the Bengals for making the right plays in those games. Like, you can't take it away from them. But the Chiefs offense, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Eric Bieniemy, they have these guys clicking. They understand how to beat this Bengals defense. It's not a mystery to them. And when was the last time that an Andy Reid team has played a defense in the regular season and then somehow not played it better in the playoffs afterwards? That just doesn't happen.
And that's the part that surprises me so much about the narratives about this game. And I understand media that it's all one way or it's all another, but they're talking about how the Chiefs have no chance. Chiefs have had leads in the second halves of all these games.
Fourth quarter. Been
two or three plays in each of these games that the Chiefs haven't made that, yes, give credit to the Bengals on that side. But that's why I don't understand this. The Chiefs have no chance. And all this crap, it's like these games have been so close. And maybe the Mahomes injury has swayed people into thinking it's going to all be one way. Mm-hmm. But the undefeated record and all that, these games have all been close. Nobody's blown anybody out on either side. The only way that anyone's ran away with it has been the Chiefs side, and then they've given it away.
It sounds like a really cliche, dumb thing to say, but it's the reality of these matchups with the Cincinnati Bengals. It's been three coin flip games in which the Chiefs have beat themselves late in the game. And the Bengals have been very good about, you know, allowing the Chiefs to make those mistakes. And I think some of the game planning comes around to, hey, we're going to force you to drive down the field consistently. We're not going to let you have these explosive plays. Like that was, I think, part of the script last year. They just hung in there. They stuck around and they got a little lucky. And the Chiefs made some uncharacteristic mistakes. It's been a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes. So if there's a mental hurdle for this team with the Bengals, I think that gets broken this week. Because I think the focus is shifted in ways that the Chiefs are not the front runners. Their Chiefs are not the team that the Bengals are the one that are getting the attention. The Bengals are the one that are getting all this love. Vegas thinks we're in Vegas, and Vegas has been thinking that has been favoring the Bengals for the majority of this week.
Not anymore.
Things have kind of adjusted
until the spin video came out. Then also the line changed.
That's
like,
a line
wait a second.
Shifter. For that, I mean, that's a line shifter.
It's a line spinner.
Yeah. I love that.
I don't.
No, I mean, it's, but that's it. And knowing that they've got to execute at a high level, knowing they can't let it snowball and avalanche again is part of the coaching. To Sean's point there, it's part of the coaching. And you know who are really good coaches when the chips are down? Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo.
Haven't talked about the latter one yet.
Steve Spagnuolo, for everything that we talk about, the amount of undeserved hate this man gets is absolutely silly to me. Every single December, January, February, this man has the defense firing on all cylinders. It can take a while to ramp up sometimes, especially in a season where you turn over so many pieces on the defensive side of the ball. Having a guy that you can rely on to craft a really solid game plan. Again, this is the man that took the undefeated Patriots and put them in the lion tamer for an entire Super Bowl. I know that they've got a plan. I know that they've got a way to attack this offense. And I know that Steve Spagnuolo is going to come out with it. We're going to see coverages that Steve Spagnuolo has been holding in that back pocket probably since last year's AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Like, he's got stuff that he's ready to unleash and ready to trick Joe Burrow. I know I've talked about it a couple of times this week, but that slot drop, cloud coverage, kind of dropping it into that cover three look on the very first play of the game on a rundown. That is something you do on a dime rep. That's a rundown call that he ran that on. He's doing that so that Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow are in the film room and they're going, oh, interesting. Okay, well, that's something else that I got to look for. He is building to this, and there's going to be things we haven't seen yet. There's going to be variants we haven't seen yet. There's going to be blitzes we haven't seen yet. He's going to craft a really good game plan. I know that Andy Reid, deservedly so, gets all the focus for developing, coaching, and all of that. Steve Spagnuolo is really, really good at this time of the year, too.
Ask the greatest quarterback ever in Tom Brady how good Steve Spagnuolo is at it, right? I mean, he's done it to him multiple times in these matchups. Like, this is not anything new. Big Lou for the Bengals gets a lot of credit because he's been really good for these game-specific schemes and game plans. Guess who was Big Lou before Big Lou? Mm-hmm. His name's Steve Spagnuolo. It's like people acting like there's some kind of massive disparity between the two or how they do it. Their defenses are good, fine during the regular season. There's a difference in the playoffs, kind of like Andy Reid in that offense, right? They're going to dial it up. They're going to change things for the playoffs. That's what matters to this team. Go back to the Chiefs Super Bowl run in 2019 and just look at how that defense was clicking once they got to the playoffs. Everything looked different. Everything changed. All these calls have been different. And we look at the Jacksonville Jaguars game. Pressure's coming from everywhere. Trevor Lawrence is in hell trying to figure out where these pressures are coming from, where he has any time to do anything. Coverages are mixed up. He is Big Lou just before it. And I think he's coached long enough that his bad games have caught up to this general perception. Everybody thinks that he's just a bad defensive coordinator because of a few bad moments, but he's going to be on his A game.
He's due for a bad one though.
No, he's not.
Lou?
Oh, Lou is.
Lou's due for
I thought you were talking about Spags. I was getting ready to get up and go fight you.
I was confused,
too. Wouldn't be the first time. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. We're going to get out of here pretty quick, but let's get some final thoughts. Barber, up first. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts of the game. At the end of the day, man, if you protect your possessions, obviously the ball's going to get in the hands of our receivers. You got to hold tight. You got to know that they're going to try to peanut punch it out. The strips are coming. All of those attempts to try to turn the ball over. We got to be ready for every fourth down, you know, fake field goals, fake punts, all those kind of things got to be, you got to execute. And at the end of the day, I got to say, you play the game not trying to be perfect, but would you play the game with an era of excellence? You got to know what it takes to be excellent. And I'm talking about at all three levels in all three phases. You know what excellence is. Now go out there and play with that type of fire, that type of emotion, that type of energy. And actually do what you've been placed here to do, man. Bring another AFC Lamar Hunt trophy back to Arrowhead, back to Burrowhead, or whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, all that talking, your play on the field takes care of that.
BJ, give me a non-Frank Clark final thought.
I'm going to be honest. I'm so tired of talking about this football game. Like, let's just go. Like, I'm fired up and I'm not going to do anything for it. So I'm going to spend the time right here shouting out Michaela Bennett and Tucker Franklin that are out here in Las Vegas with us. We're obviously bringing a lot of content, getting ready for the AFC Championship game, but we're also gathering a ton of NFL draft content. It just so happens that it comes at the same time. And this is last year where we sat down and talked to Isaiah Pacheco. We sat down and talked to Brock Purdy. We talked to Skylar Thompson and Jelani Woods. And these guys that ended up playing significant roles for their teams, obviously two rookie quarterbacks starting in the playoffs because of injury, but a lot of phenomenal content that we're getting at KC Sports. That Michaela's been killing it with Instagram and all the social stuff, that we'll have content for weeks, if not months, leading up to the draft on what we have going on out here. We have stepped the game up at KC Sports Network this year for our draft content. And I can say this, and I don't brag on us a whole lot, that's saying something for what we did last year. And I cannot wait for all this stuff to go down. And I can't wait for us to do some more content getting ready for a Super Bowl. But shout out Tucker and Michaela for killing it out here. Yep. And getting some good stuff for us the next few weeks.
All right, Maddie.
You're going to make me follow that?
Yeah,
like, I have to follow that here. I'm going to save some of the energy. Like BJ said, we are going to be doing a live watch along for this game on Sunday. So I don't want to expend all of my fraudulent takes about the fraud goals right now. Okay. I just say this. Their mayor is starting to talk a little bit of trash. It's weird.
It's very gross, too.
That's strange.
It's disgusting.
I don't like that. It reeks of desperation. It's fraudulent, just like the Cincinnati Bengals. I can't wait for this game. Like, I'm with BJ. I'm tired of talking about it. We've done a lot of trash talk back and forth. We've broken down the game every which way possible. enough of it. It's kind of been there. I need the game to happen right now because I really, really don't. I have a hard time wrapping my head around finding a way the Chiefs are going to lose this game the way the Bengals, the entire city of Cincinnati, has presented themselves in this situation. I know that doesn't really have an impact on a game, but man, it doesn't seem plausible to see the way that team acts to go ahead and come out with the win to go back to the Super Bowl.
It stinks. It reeks of desperation.
Like Skyline Chili.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I mean, take it. Poaching Chris LeMond off of the practice squad
because they
didn't want the Chiefs to be able to do something like it. Desperation.
Disrespectful.
That's what a team that doesn't truly think that they're going to do come in and beat the brakes off of another team does. This is the types of actions that you typically see. And the Chiefs have just gone about their business all week long.
Mostly. You
know, mostly. Listen, Willie can say what he wants.
Close to out of line. That was just a fine. I mean,
it's fine. It's fine. But, you know, they've mostly gone about and done their business. And that, to me, that quiet confidence, that sitting back and just kind of letting everybody else from the other side just yap and yap and yap, that's fine. They can do that. Patrick Mahomes is going to show up. Travis Kelce is going to show up. Chris Jones is going to get rid of the goose egg this week. I'm calling it. It's going to be impactful moments from impactful players. And the Chiefs have a lot of those impactful players. They're all showing up in a big way on Sunday.
Rant Swanson hasn't come out a ton. I will be insufferable for the hour that we do after this game if the Chiefs are able to pull it off. I will be running my mouth when the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals to advance to the Super Bowl for the third time in 5 years of the Patrick Mahomes era. That has been Five Things to Watch. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening. We really appreciate you. We appreciate Blue Wire. It's been great partnering with them. Awesome. It's been great to hang out in this incredible studio, seeing this really sick KC Sports Network background. We can't wait to be back here on Sunday for a live watch party. Make sure you hit the like button and hit the subscribe button so you will know when we are all hanging out watching the Chiefs beat the brakes off the Cincinnati Bengals. Thanks, y'all. We'll catch you later.
Frogles.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.